This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:16 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like at this stage.
Still a lovely shade of green at the moment. The FBM KLCI is up 0.7% to 1582. The rest of the region also doing extremely well, with Japan being the outstanding index, is up 3.63% at this moment.
All right. Well, turning our attention to Chinese equity markets, they've been among the worst performing markets in Asia on a year-to-date basis. And just this week, we witnessed a historic rout over various investor concerns. But has that tide changed? The Chinese government yesterday announced that they will actively introduce policies that will benefit markets, and we see markets responding correspondingly.
Measures announced after the meeting of China's top financial policy committee led by Vice Premier Liu He, who is the top economic official, include promises to stabilize battered financial markets, ease a regulatory crackdown, support property and technology companies while stimulating the economy. So will these announcements be enough to calm the nerves of investors?
For analysis on this, we speak to Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital. Brock, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, Chinese markets saw stunning rallies in response to the statement by China's State Council that Beijing will boost support for financial markets after a massive sell-off earlier this week. So what kind of support are markets actually anticipating?
Well, look, good morning. Let's keep in mind that markets had been somewhat disastrous leading up to the announcement, and investors, I think, desperate for any good news, really latched on to the report. The economy overall, I think, is not in great shape, and there are plenty of risk factors to deal with as the year unwinds. And I think we'll see both fiscal and monetary stimulus over the course of the year. I think we'll probably see a relaxation of real estate sector reforms, more flexibility on the so-called three red lines, the postponement of a rumored real estate tax. But, you know, the authorities came out with a very general statement designed to buttress sentiment and stop the bleeding. Now, it did that, but is it going to last? It won't unless we get some specifics.
Do you think this policy announcement marks the end of the rout in Chinese equities, or are the underlying risks still too big to overlook? And how much of these risks can regulators actually influence or control?
Well, the market slide seems to have ebbed for the moment, but the reasons behind last week's negative sentiment, I think, still are valid. You know, zero COVID policy is really destroying the near-term economy. The threat of U.S. delistings of Chinese equities in the medium term, I think, is unlikely to dissipate. Regulatory risk remains enormous. The U.S. and China are now strongly divergent with monetary policy as the U.S. took its first step today. JPM just downgraded 28 separate Chinese equities. So Chinese authorities can boost sentiment, and they did that yesterday recently with their statement. But nothing that's been said so far really changes any of those risks.
So, Brock, at the end of the day, are you saying that perhaps it's still not a buying opportunity at this current moment?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Look, I see buying the dip right now as fool's errand. In fact, if I were holding positions, I might be considering using the latest mini rebound as an opportunity to exit them. The risks remain, and even with strong government support, I think we're going to see real volatility this year.
But then, are there no buying opportunities at all in China or China-related names? Because, for example, let's say we look at the technology sector. That
sure
really had a lot of policy headwinds. But yet, at the same time, we're talking about Chinese tech companies which are trying to be global players. Is it not worth looking at these names now?
Well, look, based on standard metrics, there's a real case to be made that some Chinese equities, and particularly tech equities, are quite cheap right now. And I'm an admitted fan of more than a few of them. You know, perhaps companies like Meituan and Didi haven't been winners for me, but Tencent and Alibaba have long been great companies. But the problems plaguing the market now go beyond that. The state of regulatory and political flux has rendered the broader market a bit closer to uninvestable, in my view. So it's difficult for me to even buy the Tencent or Alibaba shares that I might like. For me, I'm still looking at good companies, but increasingly uninvestable markets. And based on that, I think my advice is to still stay clear for now. Keep your powder dry.
So is the issue here the inability to actually value or calculate the policy risk in China then?
That's absolutely it. Look, I can't put a value on a share of Tencent or Alibaba if I'm worried that tomorrow the business model will be outlawed or significantly changed, or that a company will be, quote unquote, encouraged to make another billion-dollar social donation. I can't buy a Chinese VIE share in the U.S. if I think there's real risk of being zeroed out if geopolitical relations take a wrong turn. So those risks to me are serious and still present, and I just can't put a value on them. I can't model them.
And one more sector that actually has been facing a lot of headwinds is, of course, the property sector, right? We see some companies really close to defaulting, especially on their bonds. Is this a sector that you're steering clear away, despite the fact that it was particularly mentioned in yesterday's announcements?
Well, it was mentioned in a general way that we're going to prop up the property sector. Now, I do think Beijing will be forced to relent with its real estate market forms, and that will help. It will create some space for some beleaguered companies. But don't forget, for the most part, all of the companies in this sector seem to be functionally insolvent. Now, rolling over debt, extending credit, even beating down creditors, it will allow survival, but it doesn't cure that insolvency. So on the equity side, I think now is not the time to get into Chinese property sector equity. But on the debt side, there could be some interesting opportunities, high risk, but potentially high reward as well.
So, Brock, can I ask if there might be winners if investors flee Chinese markets? Are there other emerging markets or other markets that could benefit from inflow of funds?
Yeah, I think there will be. Look, you know, the U.S. has its own set of concerns, but as they're raising rates, as China, I think, will be lowering rates, that will be a pull on capital. I think that that Singapore is also looking more attractive for certain sectors, especially some financial sectors. And look, there may well be some knock-on benefit for Malaysia as well. China has long been the regional lodestar, and if that starts to lose some of its appeal, that appeal will go elsewhere.
So at the current moment, I'm looking at Bloomberg, and it's flashing that the Hang Seng Index has jumped 6.7%. What do we do? Do we just ignore it, or is this just really going to be a dead cat bounce?
From my perspective, I don't think it's going to be a true rebound. And as I said, if I were looking to exit some positions, I'd be looking extra hard right now.
Brock, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital. Really sounding alarm bells there in terms of investing in Chinese equities. Maybe now's not the time, he says.
Of course. And everybody has a different view, right? This is Brock's view. Some people argue that, hey, it's time to bottom fish because the government is going to provide some policy support. And, you know, in China, policy is everything. Sometimes just a whisper is enough to move markets.
That's true. But he made the point that we really don't know what that policy could be. It's everyone's banking on hope right now, which is really ephemeral when you think about it.
And don't forget the relationship with Russia that is still in the air. We don't know whether there will be a secondary sanction imposed on China yet.
The other thing I think that, you know, investors have at the back of their mind is that it's similar to the situation in Hong Kong in that there is no real clear exit policy with regards to COVID. Mm. And until there is, because there is this determination to continue this zero COVID policy. So now you're seeing cities like Shenzhen, Shanghai under some form of lockdown. Will this be repeated throughout the year? And we know it's extremely disruptive to the economy. So even Morgan Stanley has cut their GDP forecast for this quarter for China down to 0%, even though the Chinese government officially has a whole year target of 5.5%. So I think investors, especially international investors, think, do I really want to get into this kind of market? How do I value these uncertainty? And they don't. They don't know how to do it, which is Brock admits he doesn't know how to do it. So at the moment, if I'm just looking at markets and think, I want to be risk off, then I'll look at other asset class or other geographies. And maybe that's why we have, for a change, Southeast Asia, in particular ASEAN or even Malaysia, is seen as that safe haven asset. For example, Singapore is up 7% on a year-to-date basis. Malaysia is up 0.1%. So like you asked him, Shaz, there is definitely some benefit to this side of the world.
Hopefully we'll see some trickle-down effect there. But it's a really curious state of things that China is on the downslide, considering they've been like the driver of the economy all this while. The markets have been booming. To see this kind of backslide is like, whoa.
But you know what? Sometimes fortune favors the brave, right? So if you're an investor and maybe you can see, you know, you take a longer term view, be it maybe a year, maybe even longer, and you think, I know these companies, there is value in it. Yeah, and you're prepared to ride out the volatility. Who knows? You might be in the money.
Absolutely. 9:27 in the morning. I think we have time maybe to squeeze in a quick headline. We have, I think, results from EcoWorld International. So they managed to narrow their net loss by 0.7% to 14.7 million ringgit in the first quarter ended January 31st, 2022. This was mainly due to lower share of losses in its joint venture, as well as higher contributions from West Village and Yara One, which were partially offset by gains on Forex and other income.
Earnings per loss dropped quarter on quarter to 0.6 cent from 2.3 cent, while quarterly revenue climbed 41.7% to 49.2 million ringgit. And year on year basis, the group sank into the red compared with the net profit of 56 million ringgit in the first quarter, no thanks to lower revenue and profit recognition from Yara One and West Village.
So if you look at the analysts that cover the stock, there's only two of them. Both have a hold. There's no buys, no sells. Consensus target price for this stock is 43 cents. Current share price is actually 40.5 cents. It's down 1.5 cents this morning. I think it's also the outlook they give is slightly negative. They are concerned about rising inflation rates and the ongoing Russian-Ukraine conflict, which is compounding supply chain constraints for them. So we'll be watching this space.
All right. It's 9:28 in the morning. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.